Good morning, friends and brethren. Very good to see you here this morning. The question needs to be asked sometimes when we just think of our position before God. What does it mean to magnify God? I think it's a good question for us to think about. And in fact, I think David says some things about this in the 34th Psalm. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the 34th Psalm. And let's read the first few verses here, some things that David wrote. David surely was one who knew something about praising God. He is one who knew something about trying to elevate God in his own sight and in the eyes of others. It's in this passage, Psalm 31, beginning at verse 1, that we read this. David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name." I want us to think about that some. David was very happy and found opportunity to acknowledge the Lord's greatness. And he often had reason to feel that way. At the time that this was written, like it was a period of time in David's life when he had a lot of issues going on. He was being pursued often by those who would be his enemy. Some have thought that this may have been right in about the time that he was spared from the hands of Abimelech. And that would certainly give him reason to rejoice and to magnify God. But regardless of the purpose of the writing, what can we learn from it? There are some things in this passage that we need to think about. There are some things in this passage that I think we can learn about magnifying God. True happiness, I'm convinced, is only found by those who love God and those who can be counted as His own people, His righteous. There is great comfort. There is happiness and reward for those who fully trust in the Lord. We have reason to exalt the Lord, to hold Him high above all else, to glorify Him, to magnify Him. We are the people that need to be doing that. Godly men exalt God. They hold Him up. They show Him reverence. They show Him respect. And the Christian has every right and responsibility even for doing that. Look with me to Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul has something to say just about that. It had become very evident in Paul's life that there was nothing and there was no one more important to him than God. In this passage, he's speaking about Christ and that to him to live was Christ, that's where all gain was found. The Christian must never forget that we have a lofty view. That is, that we must look up to God. We must highlight Him. We must magnify Him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. "For I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." The apostle had come to a point in his life where he was perfectly content. If he were to live, he was going to magnify and glorify God. But if he had to die for that same cause, he was okay with that too. And that God would even be glorified in his death. That was his attitude about such things. The Christian seeks to magnify God through Christ in his life. I want that to be a description of us and who we are. If we hope to spend eternity praising God, it would seem right that we would spend this life concentrating on that effort. That this is just kind of the warm-up period of what heaven would be all about, where we praise and magnify His name all the time, every day. In this life, we should be the people known as the ones who love God, those who focus on Him, those who lift Him up, those who magnify His name, because that's who we are. We are the people of God. And we need to praise Him in that way. We can learn some things from David, I think, when we think back on the text that we began with. When David penned these words, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." A couple of things stand out with me in this passage right here. That is, number one, the godly will bless God. Generally, the idea of blessing here means to speak well of, to offer praise. Though I have to admit, when I read the passage and I see that we will bless God, it strikes me a little bit peculiar, because we think of bless in the idea of what God may do for us, how He may bless us. We give thanks sometimes, as we should, for the blessings that we receive. We, in turn, we ask God that He will bless us in the things that we need. I think that's fine, that's good. But it's interesting to me that David uses this kind of a term as far as what we must do. When David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And again, it's that idea generally of meaning to speak well of, to offer praise. And he's saying that I will speak well of God. I will offer Him praise. Reason being that He deserves all of this. Certainly it is right for the created to offer praise or to speak well of the Creator. If we understand who He is and we understand our place and our position before Him. Too often, I'm afraid, our praise goes in an opposite direction. Instead of praising God, we praise man. And there are times, indeed, where praise is appropriate in view of man. But too often, that's where our praise is. Is it because we feel so close to man that that's where our praise goes? Maybe we need to be a little closer to God. You know, do we become charmed by the things of this life in some ways, that that's the only thing we think of as a blessing? And perhaps we need to be a little more impressed with God, so that God becomes the object of our praise. God is willing to accept our praise. In the 50th Psalm, turn a few pages over there to the 50th Psalm, and in verse 23, Psalm 50, in verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. God gives in return, that is, when we offer Him praise. Salvation is what we find in return to that. In our text, again, we find the statement made that we will bless at all times and praise continually. Just think about what those words say and what they mean. David found it easy to bless God because God brought him joy and happiness. In fact, it seems sometimes even when David was facing some of the most difficult times of his life, that anything that came to him perceived as a blessing from God, David could find every reason to praise God. The word bless, when used toward God, identifies him in this way as the source of happiness and contentment. Now you have to think about that for just a moment. And we think about, what is it that makes us happy? What makes us happy, and in what do we find contentment? And sometimes when we start thinking about things that make us happy and things that make us content, we could come up with a whole list of things, and I just wonder sometimes, if we weren't in this setting right now thinking about God, what would be on that list? What do we find that makes us happy, and where do we find contentment? And too often we think about things of this life. We think about points of recreation that we find happiness in. We think about being together with friends or maybe our favorite sports or things of this nature is where we find happiness. But David was so very focused in God. And sometimes if we're honest about this, we may recognize that we get to the end of the day. And during the course of the day, we've done nothing or very little to bless God, to offer Him praise, and to acknowledge Him. And we need to think about that. Have we remembered Him really as we should? He remembers us. There's a passage over in Lamentations. I'm going to turn there for just a moment. Lamentations, that little book there after Jeremiah. In the book of Lamentations, where Jeremiah pens some interesting words here in Lamentations chapter 3, a passage that helps us to understand that God not only knows us, but that He remembers us. And at the time Jeremiah was writing these things, he was even writing to or about a people who had often forgotten God, who needed to be reminded, as we do, that God knows us. In Lamentations 3, at verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. It's amazing to think about, really, that God's mercy and His compassion are renewed every day. It's an amazing thought. It's amazing to think that when God looks upon a sinful world and it seems just a select or just a few who are trying to serve Him, that God could be ever so patient, that He could show mercy and compassion, and that at the beginning of a new day His compassion is renewed and starts over. So often we are so very much not like that. But it's a beautiful description of God. His faithfulness toward His people is constant. And when you think about that, isn't it embarrassing that sometimes we forget about Him when He seems to never forget about us? How could we not praise Him continually? The fact is, again, is that we need to remember Him. We must remember Him. We must have a thankful spirit in every circumstance, every situation of life. When we face trials, we need to remember God. When we have times of rejoicing, we need to remember Him. We need to praise Him for who He is. We need to magnify His name because He is God. It's not just those who have found only moments of rejoicing in their life who praise God, but it's interesting to me how many times in Scripture we might find those who have struggled in life who still know God and remember Him. You remember Job? I mean, we can't think about Job without recalling some of the difficulties he faced in life. In the very first chapter of Job, when we have this description here of some of the tragedies that has come upon his life, he's lost his children, he's lost all of his family, he's lost his servants, he's lost his cattle, he's lost everything. And in the middle of all these trials, when it seems for most of us, I'm afraid we would have just thought our life has come to an end, where Job says in Job 1 verse 20, that Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I have come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's amazing to me that even in this time of travesty, Job still remembers the Lord and gives Him praise. In the New Testament, we find some Christians who dealt with some very difficult issues in life. In the book of Acts chapter 5, you may be looking there with me. In Acts chapter 5, we find the apostles here as their story continues as one being persecuted because of their faith and because of what they were preaching. The apostles already have been in jail and out of jail, and they've been beaten because of what they were teaching. They've been told, "You have to stop teaching." They said, "We're not. We must obey God before we can obey man." You know, these kinds of things. The apostles seemed, as the text would say, rejoiced in suffering. And I think that does not mean that they enjoyed being beaten, but they enjoyed the cause for which they had to suffer. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, when again the apostles had been on trial, it says of them that they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Doing that, knowing that there would be some negative repercussions that would come back to them from the hands of men. But they weren't concerned about the hands of men. They were going to magnify God. They were going to lift up His name. They were going to teach Christ. That's amazing to me. A few pages over in Acts chapter 16, you remember Paul and Silas being arrested because of preaching Jesus. They're cast in prison. They're beaten and cast in prison. And yet, even in the prison, here in the night, in verse 22, it says of them, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Bad enough that they were beaten, but then put in prison, and being put in prison in stocks, no less. And yet they still found it appropriate to sing hymns to God, to praise and magnify Him. We need to praise God. We need to rejoice in the hope that is given us. Romans chapter 5. It would seem to me that what the apostle later here, he's writing to the church at Rome and trying to remind them of the salvation that they have in Jesus. He's trying to emphasize to them the blessings and the beauty of the faith that is found in Him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of His glory." We need to be reminded of that. It's not just the Christians of old who needed to hear those things. We need to hear that. We need to know that we have every right, every reason to praise God for the hope that we have, for the salvation that's found in Jesus. It gives us reason of hope every day, and it gives us reason to praise God and to hold His name up high. A page or so further in chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, he continues to remind them, "But God be thanked, that though you were servants of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness." Yes, we have every reason to remember God. We have every reason to praise Him for the hope that is in us. The apostle would say later, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." Indeed, we need to do that. "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's the people we should be. Remembering God, praying to Him often, giving Him praise and glory, thanks for all that He has done. And it's in that way, when we think back to our text, at some things that David said. He says, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord." With God, we have a worthy focus of our boasting. Boasting is used here as an expression of gratitude. Sometimes we think of boasting in a negative way. We say of somebody, "Oh, they just boast all the time." We have a negative connotation with that. But here it's said in such a way that we have something to boast of, or someone, that is the Lord. He is worthy. He's a worthy focus of our boasting. And it's said in this way as though an expression of gratitude is what it is. This is boasting that is focused about and on the Lord. It's a boasting that comes from deep within us. It's like David was saying, "This is something that comes out of me that I can't even hold back." And you look at some of the Psalms that David wrote, and you see that. He would praise God. He would bless God. He would offer all kinds of praise to God. Because David was a man after God's own heart. His focus was on God in every way. Our boasting sometimes is not with as pure motives. Too often our boasting, when it is spoken of us, as we have said, is in a more negative way. You remember the parable there in Luke chapter 18? Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus was speaking here to some that He already identified. He knew their heart. And there were some who thought so well of themselves that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Well, the Lord knew better than that. And He spoke to them by way of this parable, trying to help them understand that their boasting was not good. He speaks of this in a negative way. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10, he says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." of course, the idea of being here, the extreme, the Pharisee, you know, one of the most religious in the eyes of men. And then you have the tax collector, the scum of the earth, one who was thought of so poorly by men. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Surely we can see the difference in the attitudes of these two men, the extreme, the contrast in the attitudes of these men. The Lord knows the difference, because he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, that is, the tax collector. His attitude was approved of God, for everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Sometimes we can get so caught up in ourselves that we forget to magnify God. The Pharisee was so caught up in who he was, at least in his own eyes. He was so caught up in himself, he couldn't even look to God. He couldn't even recognize God. And then you had that lowly sinner realized how poor of shape he was spiritually, pleaded to God for mercy. And we see who God approved. When our attitude is like that, we fail to magnify God. Even in all the Apostle Paul accomplished later in his life, in all of the good that he did for the kingdom, even he confessed, by the grace of God I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God I am what I am. Giving God praise even in his own weaknesses. That it's only by the grace of God I have anything. Only by the grace of God I have any hope. Praising God even in seeing his own weaknesses, or maybe especially because of seeing his own weaknesses. Our boasting must be in God. There's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 9. Would you go with me? Jeremiah chapter 9. In beginning here at verse 23, the words of the Lord are penned for us by the prophet Jeremiah, who was trying so very much to encourage and bring the people of God back to him, back nearer to God. In chapter 9, verse 23, the Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I will delight, says the Lord. We must glory in the Lord. Our boasting is in him. It's as if saying our focus is in him. The psalmist said it this way in the 44th Psalm, in God we boast all day long, we praise your name forever. I can see that of the psalm. I could see that of David and some of the other psalmists as well. Those who were so very focused on the Lord that indeed they could praise him all day long. And I think, I'm afraid sometimes we would struggle with that. We should learn from these points. It was the Apostle Paul who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, magnifying the name of the Lord, holding him up, giving him praise, giving him glory. For the good that the Apostle accomplished, it wasn't of his own volition. It was not of his own being. It was God working in him. God deserves the praise. And for the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, we need to give God praise. We need to hold him up and magnify his name. And as the psalmist said, and as David said back in our text, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Shall hear of what? The previous part of the verse said, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. The wisdom of this age will prohibit the self-righteous from seeing or knowing God. There are those so wise in this age that they cannot see the simplicity of the words of God and know the blessings that come from us. But let's ask the question, what do they hear from us? What does the world hear from us? Do they hear praises? Do they hear blessings toward God? Or is all they hear from us murmuring and discontent? Have you thought about the fact that if we praise God in all circumstances of life, that is not to our glory? There are many who mouth the words and say the words and blessings toward God, but it's for their own purposes. It's that people might look at them. There's no blessing in that. But if truthfully and with a good heart we praise God, if we bless Him, if we become a light for the world to see, that brings glory to Him. Jesus said it simply when He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That being the focus of our praise and our glory of God. In that vein, it was finally that David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name forever." It's interesting to me this word magnify is used here. You don't find that in Scripture so much. Magnify, just what does it mean to magnify the Lord? What does a magnifying glass do? I mean, it increases the size of the object under it. You have a magnifying glass, whatever you look at is made to look bigger. It makes it, illuminates it, it brings it to sight in a bigger way. You know, God does not need us to make Him any bigger. In fact, I would suggest that we cannot make God any bigger. I don't think that's what He's saying, that, you know, God really needs our help here and we have to magnify Him so He's bigger. I don't think that's what He's saying at all. We can't do anything to increase the size of God. We cannot actually enlarge God. We cannot add to His majesty. We cannot add to His greatness. We cannot add to His might. We cannot add to His glory. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is changeless. This passage is not about making God greater. Man is not capable of either increasing or decreasing the glory of God. But we can make His glory known. We can enlarge or we can magnify our praises of God. We can exalt Him with our faithfulness. We can hold His name high above all names. We can reverence Him. We can humble ourselves before Him. And when we do, then His character will stand higher in the sight of all men. And He becomes more and more the supreme object of man's knowledge and the affection of man and of our trust and our love. We must praise God continually. And we must praise God individually. But the text tells us to exalt His name together. And I trust we've done that even today. As His people, we've come and we have gathered together. United as His people, we must praise Him. We must glorify Him. We must magnify His name because He is God. And sometimes I'm afraid we don't do that as much and as often as we should. But we can. And we need to focus on those things. We take just a minute. I want us to sing this song. I hope it all comes up on the screen, but I don't know that it will. Michael, I'm going to let you drive at this point. And if you have a book, it's in the supplement book, number 6. Page 6 in the supplement book. And we have done this song a couple of times here recently. We've been trying to learn that. Magnify, oh, magnify. Mm-hmm.
Oh, magnify our God and Father, magnify, oh, magnify, oh, magnify our God. He has made us in his glorious image. We ever strive to be like him. He alone is holy, he alone is righteous. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God and Father. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God. He has given us his Son to save us, now reconciled to be like him. Give him praise forever, honor and revere him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God and Father. Magnify, oh magnify, oh magnify our God. He will bring us to his wondrous glory, to perfect fellowship with him. We will see his wonder, we will see his beauty. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in him. Cry aloud with gladness our joy in him.
Indeed, we have every reason to magnify God. I mean, even as we have sung here, he has made us in his glorious image. We ever strive to be like him. He alone is holy. He alone is righteous. Of course, we cry aloud with gladness in our joy in him. We have every reason to do that because he is God and we can be his people. What a blessing it is to even think about and to consider that we can be the people of God. That we can be in a position of magnifying him and praising him, and he will know who we are, because we are his people. Even on this day and at this time, it seems appropriate for us just to say, if you are not a child of God, would you consider that? Would you consider being in a much grander and better position to be able to praise God and he can know you and recognize you as his own? By becoming a child of God, Scripture would teach us that we are put in Christ through baptism. Oh, that's not the beginning of the story. That's more of the end result. It's penitent faith that causes us to be convicted. It's penitent faith that causes us to want to be a child of God. We find that means through repentance of our sins, confessing that Jesus is Son of God, and being buried in baptism for remission of sins. Baptism is not the end all of all things. It's just a step. It's just part of a process of bringing ourselves closer to God. It's a penitent heart that will drive us to obey him by whatever he would require of us. And there could be some today who need to begin a relationship with God, becoming a baptized believer. There may as well be someone here today who is a Christian, who over time has stepped and fallen far away from God. It's amazing that he would still call us. He wants us to return. And we are hoping and praying that if you need to repent of your sins and come nearer to God and pray forgiveness of sins, can we help you do that? Would you come as we stand and sing?